awesome lesson. Thank you so much for being here this morning. And I already profusely thank Pat Allen for teaching for me. I think she was a little overwhelmed by teaching such a large group. And then I listened to her on the Bragging Post, and I just laughed when she said, "I don't stand up." So that was so cute. But I loved that lesson. What you're to put off or kill, and then what you're to put up. This is such practical stuff that we're learning here. So let's open with a word of prayer. Let's jump right in, because I know I'm going to go too long already. So let's pray together. Our Father, thank you. Thank you for the privilege of studying your precious word. It is so powerful. It is so life-giving. It is alive. And God, our greatest need is to be women who let your word richly dwell within us. And so, Father, this morning, as we come to this brief time of Bible study, we're just going to look at such powerful principles this morning. And Father, I'm just trusting that your Spirit is going to move in our lives and going to just explode upon our hearts and take your word and renew our minds, that we might learn to be women who think biblically. And so, Father, set us free as we study your word this morning. And we just come before you, adoring you, bowing in our hearts before your throne. Because you're high and you're lifted up and you're ruling and you're reigning. And your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is seated at your right hand. Our advocate. Our one who gives us access to you. And the one in whom we are. We are in Christ. And in him we move and we have our being. And all of the promises are in him. And it's a wonderful place. We ascend to your throne, that we might live our lives from that perspective. And that, Father, we might not be so such friends with the world, but that we'd separate from it and we'd be different. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit that you've placed within us, that guides us, that gives us the confidence that we are your children, that helps us when we pray to come before you and cry out, "Daddy," and you hear our prayers. And we just praise you for this lesson this morning. And I ask you, God, to speak very personally to each lady here today. And I pray it in the precious name of our Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, we're going to be looking today at Colossians 3, verses 15 through 17. We're moving slowly through these two chapters. And I love these two chapters because they're such practical chapters. Now, you know that 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this. Can anybody quote it? "If any man be in Christ," say it with me, "he is a new creation. Old things have what? Passed away. Behold, what? New things have come." Now, when you get saved, what actually happens is a transformation. It's a transformation. And the word there in that verse is the word metamorphosis, which, you know, a butterfly is a caterpillar and he turns into a butterfly. That's what happens to you. It's like I come to God and I enter into his presence, for example, a prickly porcupine. And God takes me and I go out a gentle, beautiful, golden retriever. He changed. He made me something different. It wasn't that he took the porcupine and said, "Now be sweet, do good." That's not what he did. He made me something totally new. It's like when I went into God, I came in as an ugly old crow. Crows are grubby old things. And God took me and I came out a cooing, beautiful dove. He changed me. He transformed me. Now, I'm telling you, get excited about what happens to us in salvation. God changes us. It is a miraculous thing that happens in salvation. I love it. And so here we are in Colossians 3. And we're just seeing some very practical things. And the whole idea of the thing is that we are called to live a resurrection life. We're called to live a risen life. We died with Christ. We were buried with Him. And then what happened? We were raised with Him to walk in a new way of life. Now, we're to be different. I have a family member that lives in another city who's gotten into some serious trouble. He's a young man, and he's gotten into sin, and it's a serious kind of sin where he may even have to go to trial, and the results may be that he loses everything and has to serve time. Now, that's horrible. This last week, I got a letter, Bill and I got a letter from him. And in this letter, he's talking about how, you know, God this, God that, God this, God that. But the bottom line of the letter is this. He doesn't want to change the sin. Now, I'm just contemplating, what am I going to say to this family member? Because he wants to talk about how God loves and how God has grace and God this and God that. But yet he's not willing to say, I made a mistake and that mistake was a sin. He's wanting to say, God has enough grace for that sin and I don't have to change. God is loving. God is gracious. But if you're truly saved, this is my point, you're different. You're different. And you know what? You don't want to stay in that sin. You don't. Because God changes you from the inside out. From the inside out. Now, his idea is that living in the South, people are very narrow-minded, and they don't accept the sin that he's involved in. So therefore, he moves 1,000 miles away to live in Boston, where that sin is more accepted. But sin is sin. And the wrath of God has been revealed from heaven, Romans says, to all ungodliness. So my message back to him is not going to be the one he wants to hear. Now, I love him. I really do. But I want him to turn away from that sin. And when you're really saved and you're really born again, this is what happens. You kill some stuff in your life. You put off some stuff. And you saw that last week. And then you put on some new things. And your life is different. Your life is different. And that's what has to happen. Now notice verse 1. It says there, you have been risen with Christ. Look at verse 3. It talks about the fact that your life is hidden with Christ in God. Look at verse 4. It says there, Christ, who is our life. We have this wonderful, eternal, resurrected life. And because we've been given that, you set aside some things, you take up some things, you throw some old garments away, as Paul's picture, and you put on some new garments. And so salvation is actually regeneration, transformations. And what Paul is saying here is you're not the person you were. You're a new woman, a new man. Now, what were the list of the things that we were to kill? Let's just, for verse 5, look at it, and let's review. Immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, greed, which all results in idolatry. Look at verse 8, anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech, and lying. And that's what some of the stuff, some of the junk that we need to get rid of in our lives. And then look, and we'll see what we're to put on. Look there with me. And I think it's verse 12. I'm not sure. I'm not looking at my Bible. We're to put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other, just as the Lord forgave us. Now, I don't know about you, but I remember before I was saved, I saw people who had those kind of clothes on. They were forgiving, and they were kind. And they were gentle, and they were compassionate, and they would bear with other people. And I loved being around those kind of people. They were very attractive to me, and I wanted what they had. I really, really did. And then look at verse 14, because he says, now put on all these things, and then above all, there's something you're going to wrap it all up with, and I'm just going to call it the belt. You just take all of those things and belt it all up, and you belt it up with love. With love. Verse 14. Now, I just love being around people who are all wrapped up in love. I want to be like that. Don't you? I don't want to be the kind of person that is a prickly prick. I'm always looking for little people. Oh, get this on my nerve. And I'm always analyzing and picking and all that kind of stuff. And I'm grumpy. And if things aren't just right, well, I'm just not going to go. Well, it's too late for me to serve ice cream. 7 o'clock. Well, I like to watch my show on Sunday night. You see what I'm saying? Now for this morning, let's look at verses 15 through 17. And what we're going to see today is that the new man and the new woman has some new priorities. Okay, we've dressed in new clothes. And now we have some new principles that are going to rule our life. Oh, this is so good. I can't wait to teach it to you. Look at verse 15 with me. And let's read it. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Now here we get the priorities of a saved person. I mean, we get saved. We kill some things, we put off some things, we put on some things, we wrap it all up with the belt of love. And now Paul says, I'm just going to give you a few general principles that I want you to understand. And it's kind of like he's saying, now, above all else, I'm going to take this robe, it's just kind of like an outer coat, and I'm going to throw that over you. And so what I'm going to say today is kind of on top of everything else that's been said up until now. So let me give you the three priorities. And let's just jot them down on our handout. I got a new printer, by the way. I'm sorry. So the first priority is let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. That's the first priority. We're going to talk about that. Now turn your paper over and look for number two. Here's number two. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That's principle number two. And then principle number three, hop down to kind of wherever on the bottom. And here it is. Let the name of Christ be the issue in everything you do. Now let's go back and let's take a very practical look at each one of these three principles that we're going to let rule our lives. We put on our new clothes. We've wrapped it up in love, and now here are some general principles to guide your life. How am I supposed to live, Teresa? Well, dress like this, and let these principles guide your life. You see how practical this lesson is? The first one, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Let's start by looking at that word rule, because it's an interesting word in the Greek, and it means umpire. Umpire. Let the peace of Christ be the umpire in your life. Now let's talk about this. What is the peace of Christ? Well, if you look at the Greek wording of it, here's an idea. It means an agreement or a pact or a treaty or a bond. If you look at the Hebrew word, you know the Bible's written in Greek and Hebrew. If you look at the Hebrew word of peace, here's the idea there. It means an attitude of peace or rest or security. Now I think you have both aspects in this command. Let the peace of Christ rule. And what it's saying is that the peace of God is in fact two things. It's a fact and it's a feeling. The Greek word says it's a fact. An agreement has been signed. A pact, a treaty was made. And then it's also a feeling. I just have a rest in my heart. I have this attitude of security with Christ. The peace of God, I feel it in my heart. Now, there's a verse I want you to look at, but I've got to find it. Hold up. It's in, okay, good. Colossians 2. Let's go back in Colossians and let me show you something. Look at verse 13. And there Paul says, "And when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven all of our transgressions." Now this is what I want you to see, verse 14. "Having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us and which was hostile to us, and he, Christ, has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross." Now here I see something that happened at salvation. Before, I was over here, and I was an enemy. And I was an enemy because of sin. And I had a whole bunch of it. A whole bunch. Now, I probably had more than you. But I didn't have as many as some bad people. But I had a whole list of it. And then over here is God. And God says, gotta have perfection. That's my standard. And that means no sin. So what Christ did, he came to the cross, he took my list, and what does Colossians say he did with it? You see, this was actually something Satan could use in my life to say, "You can't have Teresa. Look at her mistakes." And so Christ took my list and he nailed it to the cross. And my list is no longer anymore. You know why? I'm in Christ. Now, ladies, you have to know what Christ has done for you. And I'll tell you why. Turn to Romans 8:1. Leave your marker there because we're coming back to Colossians. But I have to show you something and why you need to know doctrine. Why you need to know what the Bible says. Go to Romans 8:1, and this is a verse I definitely want you to underline in your Bible. Look at the very first verse of chapter 8. "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Oh my goodness. Did you hear that? There is therefore, because of what Christ has done, no condemnation. Now you know what Satan will love to do to me? He'd love to say, "You remember that one right there, Teresa? That one, ooh, that was a bad one. And Teresa, you remember last week when you lied on the telephone? That was, ooh, you a liar. And Teresa, you remember that one right there back when you were 17 years old, and that one back there just a few years ago?" And he would like to heap condemnation upon me. It doesn't work. You know why? I've been transformed. I know the Word of God. And you know what I can say to Satan? "You're so right. You're so right. I was such a sinner. But I'm in Christ." And you know what Christ has done? He took that whole list and they were nailed on the cross when he died. And I'm in him. And they've been canceled, is what Colossians says. They're canceled. And so I don't live a life of regret. Yes, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. I lied on the telephone. But you know what? I repented and I moved on. You know why? Because I'm in Christ. And there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Did you know that? See, I can take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and I can fight my enemy who comes to me through my mind and tries to bring condemnation upon me. And I know many women who live with a whole hunk of guilt on their life because of past mistakes, and they can't get over it, and so therefore they're no good to the kingdom of God because they walk around all the time, "I'm just a worm. I'm just a worm." No, you're not a worm. You're in Christ. You're forgiven. You put those things aside. You don't look back. You put your hand to the plow and you move forward. I don't know what's back there in your life, but it's back there and it's over. And if you're saved and you're in Christ, there's no condemnation for you. Do you know that? Do you believe that? You see, faith is just believing that what the Bible says about me is true. And that what the Bible says about God is true. And that what the Bible says about Christ is true. Now, either that's true or it's not. Either Colossians is true or it's not. Which is it with you? Is it true in your life? Don't you just love the Bible? I love the Bible. So when you came to Christ at salvation, you see, you were his enemy. And Romans says you were without hope, you were ungodly, and you were an enemy. And you know what God did? In Christ, he had a peace treaty. And you know, you over here, and he was over here, and there was no way for y'all to get together because you had this whole long list. And so Christ was your mediator. He cut a new covenant, and because of him, he bridges the gap, and he brings you to God, and your friends with God. And you see, we've been learning in Colossians, you know what I can do? I can ascend. I can leave this earth and spiritually ascend to where God is and to where seated at his right hand, Christ is there. And I can live my life from that perspective. And it's wonderful. I don't know, just since I've been studying Colossians, just in my mind, and I may have told you this, I can't remember. But, I mean, I'm just driving along, and I'm thinking about things. And you know what in my mind I do? I just say, I'm going to go up. Ascend. Okay, God, I'm here before your throne. Okay, Jesus, you're on the right hand. I'm just going to pour out my heart to you. Whatever it is on my heart, I'm pouring it out to you. I can ascend. You can ascend. You know why? I'm in Christ. I'm in Christ. No condemnation. All that nailed to the cross, canceled, canceled, debt paid. Isn't that wonderful? Now, I'm telling you, the Bible will set you free. You learn the truth and doctrine of the Bible, it will set you free to be happy and to have. It really will. And so what Jesus did on the cross was he reconciled me to God. He made peace with God. Now, there are two things. There's the peace with God and the peace of God. At salvation, I was given peace with God. That happened at salvation. You see, I was an enemy. Now I am a friend. And there was a peace treaty made, and God and I smoked the peace pipe, and Jesus paid the price, and I am now at peace with God. Now look at me. Nothing can change that. That is a done legal thing. But I'm walking through life, and I want to let the peace of Christ rule me. And you know what? If I get into sin, or if I get on a side road, you know what can happen to me as a Christian? I can lose the peace of Christ. You know when you're out of God's will, what happens? You lose your peace. You lose it. I still have peace with him. Doesn't mean I lose my salvation. But I want to let the peace of Christ rule me in my life. I want to keep that feeling, that rest, that security in my heart that all is well between me and God. Now, in the gospel good news, you had all these problems, but look, Jesus nailed them to the cross. In Christ, you're reconciled. Look what God has done for you in Christ Jesus. So from now on, I'm in Christ. I'm going to let that fact, the fact that I'm no longer over here an enemy, I'm now on God's team. I'm in Christ. I'm on his side. And so I'm going to let that fact rule and influence all my decisions, all my considerations in life. And so you know what? Here we are. We're walking in life. Problems come. Dilemmas come. I have to make choices. Should I do this or should I do that? Should I say this? Should I say that? Oh, wait. I've got to remember something. Whose side am I on? And I've got to let the peace of Christ rule as I'm making my decisions. I don't want to lose that. I don't want to lose my unity. I want to stay at peace with him. Now, anytime I need to make a choice, I need to let the umpire rule. You know, the umpire, safe, out of bounds, fair, foul. Do you know that's what the Holy Spirit will do in your life? Just learn to run to him. I'm going to sin. Oh, God, I don't know what to do here, but I want your peace to rule. I want to keep that settled feeling that I'm doing your will. And you know what? The Spirit will speak in you. He'll say, go. No. Stop. Forward. Back up. You're going to have to call back, Teresa. Tell him you lied. Ouch. That's what the Holy Spirit does. So let me just say two things. Two questions that you ask. When you're coming in life and you're wanting the peace of Christ to rule in you, you ask, is it consistent with the fact that Jesus and I are on the same side? And will it leave me with a deep and abiding rest in my heart? Now that helps me make choices in life. That helps me make choices in life. Now, he says, just let the peace of Christ be the umpire. Be the umpire. And then he's going to throw in something else. Notice it with me. And be thankful. Now let me tell you what I've discovered. This is really revolutionary. The way to keep your heart peaceful is to be thankful. This is major. This is major. I've got to have an attitude of gratitude in my life. That's how I've got to live my life. I've just got to keep in my life thanking God for everything. It's just amazing how peaceful your life is when you are thankful in all things. And I'm just going along in life and I'm saying, God, you're the umpire. You're calling the shots. I don't like this in my life, but fine. If this is what you want, thank you. I trust you. Do you trust him? I'm not going to hassle. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm going to come before you and I'm going to say, yes, Lord, yes. What pleases you pleases me because I'm on your side. I'm not your enemy. We're reconciled. You are my shepherd. You're leading me. Your word says you will never, 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 no, never leave me or forsake me. I'm at peace. Thank you for everything. You're present. I'm in Christ. Do you know the Bible commands in everything, give thanks? It doesn't say give thanks for everything, does it? It says give thanks in everything. So you're going to find yourself in some place you don't really want to be. Just say, God, thanks anyway. I'm yours. I trust you. And I'm going to thank you all through it. Because you're in control. Because you're caring for me. I'm going to cast all my care on you. I'm going to give you all my anxiety. I'm going to trust you. And it's so practical. You know what will happen? The peace of Christ will rule in your life. An attitude of gratitude. And then he comes to the next point. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Now this one is my personal favorite. Love. Let the word of God. Ladies, fill your life with this book. That's what he's saying. The word dwell is an interesting word. It means to be at home. To be at home. Let the word of God, the Bible, be at home in you. You know, I like hotel rooms, especially in their really nice restaurants. I mean, nice hotels. But home's so much better. There's no bed like your own bed. Isn't that right? And so it says, don't let the word of God be a stranger to you. Let the word of God be at home. Let it settle down. Let it live there. And let me just say this. In order to have the kind of peace and the kind of thankfulness that we just discussed, you're going to have the word of Christ dwelling in you richly. I mean, you just got to be jam full of it. It's to be abundant in me. Now, how is it going to do that? I've got a few ideas. Number one, read it. Number two, study it. And then number three, live it. And let me give you four quick little outline things that the Bible says you're to do with God's Word. Number one, in Matthew 13, it says to heed it. That means obey it. Heed, H-E-E-D. Heed it. That's what Matthew 13:9 says. And then 2 Timothy says you're to handle it. Handle it rightly. And then Psalm 119 says you're to hide it in your heart. And then Philippians says you're to hold it forth to others. Now when you've done that, you'll have it richly dwelling in you. And it doesn't have shortcuts, ladies. There are no shortcuts. You are going to have to give it priority. And that's why I love it when you come to Sunday school. I hate anybody that's missing today's lesson. You know why? They needed to know that there is no condemnation to them. I'll never forget. I'm so glad I decided to go to church when I was 19 years old and hear that revival preacher. You know why? I heard the gospel and I got saved. But it would have been just as easy for me to say, oh, I've had a long day. This has been a tough week. I think I'll just let the word of God slide tonight. I don't really want to go. I'm tired and I'm hungry. You've got to recognize where that voice is coming from, because Satan does not want you in Sunday school hearing truths like this, does he? Because this will set you free in your life. I mean, truly. This one lesson today, that there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus, could literally set some of you free if you're struggling with past mistakes. Because you know why? Christ took that and nailed it to the cross, and it's done. It's been canceled. Amen? It's been canceled. Now, there's some people that need to hear that so that they can live for Christ. You need to be in Sunday school. Not because I'm such a great teacher, but I am going to study hard, and I'm going to make sure I bring you God's truth. I'm not going to tell you what I think, and I'm not going to talk about politics. I'm going to talk about the Word of God. And that will set us free. I need to learn it. I need to give it top priority. When Sundays at 5 starts up in the fall, I need to be there. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there. I'm going to encourage my husband, get him the men's study. There are going to be lots of all adult studies. I need to be taking opportunities. You know what? You can get on the internet and listen to some of God's most dynamic preachers. I listen to hours and hours and hours. I get in my car, I pop in a preacher. I'm always listening. I'm just hungry for the Word of God. Books. Oh, so many good books you can be reading. Listen to Caleb. Pop in a Christian tape. Praise God. You see, take advantage. Be filled with the Word of God. Be filled. Be dominated. Let it become a part of you. Let it saturate you. That's what he's saying. Y'all think I'm a little bit radical? I am. Now, if you let the peace of Christ rule, and if you let the Word of Christ dwell in you, let me show you what the result's going to be. And this is just fantastic. Look at the verse there. It says, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. So the first thing that's going to be the result is you're going to have information. You're going to have information. In all wisdom, teaching. You know what's going to happen? You're going to be in your home with your family. And because of the Word of Christ and the peace is there, I've got answers for my family. I can show them what the Word of God says. I can teach them the principles of the Word of God. Because I've got it dwelling in me richly. And not only that, there's a negative. It says, in all wisdom, teaching. And what's the other thing? Admonishing. That's what I'm going to have to do with this family member. I'm going to have to lovingly admonish him. And I'm going to have the truth to do it with. What?
I'm confused.
Are y'all confused? Let me look. Mm-hmm.
It's teaching.
Uh-huh. Number one is you have information, and the positive is you're going to instruct, and the negative is you're going to admonish. And here's the second thing. You're going to have emotion. Now, this is so good. Do you know what happens? You get full of the Word of God. The peace of Christ is ruling in your life. All of a sudden, you're going to find this true in your heart. Wonder if this is true in any of you. That songs and hymns and spiritual songs are making melody right in you. And you're singing to the Lord in your heart. You're praising Him in your heart. It's coming out of here. Because the Word is dwelling in me. And I'm able to minister to people. And you know what? It just makes you so happy. It's so much fun to have the right answer to give to someone who's asking for answers. You know, I personally think that Christians ought to be the happiest people in the world. We have something to sing about. And real quickly, a psalm just refers to the book of Psalms. Did you know those were the songs that they sang? Hymns are expressions of praise, and spiritual songs are like testimony songs. And it's like you're saying, oh, Lord, look what you've done for me. How amazing what you've done for me. I love you so much. So here's what happens. You let the Word of Christ dwell in you. That results in information and emotion. I mean, your heart just starts overflowing with praise. You know, sometimes in our churches, I don't know why, but this generation is so bent out of shape over worship style. Should we sing praise and worship? Should we lift our hands? Should we have drums? Oh, no, I like the old hymns, and I can't sing anything but the old hymns. And if they're not the old hymns, that's not worship. Pooey. It's not about style. By the way, you see, this here is mentioned that you're making melody in your heart for who? For who? It's for Him. And you say, well, that song just didn't minister to me. I didn't like the style. Pooey, it's not supposed to minister to you. Music is sung to Him. And so whether it's a hymn or a praise song or whatever, get in the worship service and look at those words and sing them in your heart to God. God, this is true of you. I don't care what the melody is. I am, you know what? You're going to find yourself raising your hands. Watch out. You better put a belt around you. Because if you start thinking, oh, God, look who you are. Oh, thank you, God. You're just going to want to sing it to Him. It'll make you want to lift your hands. And so that's what we're to do in church. We're to sing to Him. We're to sing to Him. Well, it's pretty clear what he's saying here. He's saying that there's some basic things that are part of the life of the new man. The peace of Christ, the word of Christ, and lastly, real quickly, verse 17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. And he says, well, when you sum it all up, here's how you live the risen life. You're going to put off, and you're going to put on. And you're just going to wrap it all up in love. You're going to let your life be guided by the peace of Christ and by the word of Christ. Or if you want to just say it in one sentence, just whatever you do, in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And you've got it. It's so simple. Everything you do, do it in the name of Jesus. That means whatever I do is consistent with who He is and what He would do. Do you remember the craze a few years ago, what would Jesus do? WWJD? That's living a WWJD life. I'm just going to be thinking all the time, what would Jesus do? Well, that brings us back to where we started. And it's really basically what Romans 13:14 says. But you put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's really what it is. That's really what it is. And when we do this, guess what happens? We become Christ in the world. And when others rub up against us, they encounter Jesus. They want what you have. They see your love. They see your gentleness. They see your kindness, your patience. They see the way you forgive. They see your goodness. They recognize you're at peace, even though you're going through hard times. And they know she really has wisdom. I think I'll ask her about that problem. And because you're full of God's word, you give them the right answer. And whatever you do, whether it's in what you say or in what you do, you're doing it all in the name of Jesus. Now, can I just say to you in closing this morning, I want that to be a reality. I'm just going to ascend to heaven. Oh God, I want what I'm learning in Colossians to be a reality in my life. I want to kill all that junk. And I want to put on everything you have. I want to wrap it up in love. I want to let your peace rule in my heart. I want to sing and make melody. I want to live a life of gratitude. I want to let God's word dwell in me richly. And whatever I do, whether it's something I say or something I do, I want to do it all in the name of Jesus. I want to represent Him in the world. Because you know what? Our world needs to see Jesus. Do you want to be Christ in the world? Then you have to put Him on. Now let me just sum it up. Since I'm risen with Him, since He elected me, He made me holy, I'm His beloved, it just only makes sense that I'm going to be clothed in Him. You say, Teresa, oh my goodness, where do I start? Well, it has to start with the new birth. It has to start with salvation. And I say that all the time because I feel like so many people in the South think they're saved because they're on a church roll. It's not about being on a church roll. It's about doing business with God. It's about letting Him take this and nail it here and making you reconcile. So you have to be sure that you're born again. Because that's when He makes you new. And that's when you start walking in fullness of life. Hey, Jason, Mike. Here, you can sit right here.
I love the Christian life.
I love the new birth. I love the fact that I was a crow, I turned into a dove. I was a porcupine, and God turned me into a loving gentleman. Go and return. That's what God does. And I'm learning. I'm learning. Let's pray for us. Our Father, thank You for this most practical word this morning. There's no condemnation. You're not sitting up there with a mean face growling at us. You know what? Our debt's been canceled. We're free. We're free. We want Your peace to rule in our hearts. God, it's settled. We want, Father, for our decisions to be Your will. We want, Father, for Your word to fill us, saturate us, and dwell in us. Be at home there. And then, Father, whatever we do, whatever we say, and whatever we do, we want it just to be representative of what Christ would do in the world. So, Father, take this class. Make us faithful to come and study Your word together. And I pray that You will just encourage us and bless us and bring us to maturity that we might serve You, that we might, Father, impact our society. We pray it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, next week we're going to see the new man is going to really impact his world. And you know where it's going to start? It's going to start in the home. So next week's lesson is all about the home. Don't miss next week's lesson. It's going to be good.